Well, it's good to be in Alabama.
Amen.
We drove all the way from Peppertown, Mississippi. How many of you know where Peppertown's at? Two people. That's it. I got a Mantachie address. But I like saying Peppertown. It sounds a lot cooler than Mantachie.
Probably
it's
smell too.
It is. But we drove all the way over, a little over 2 hours, and I didn't see the first raindrop, so I want to thank the Lord for that.
Amen.
All right, everybody hear me good?
Yes, sir.
And if you can't, just come closer. There's plenty of seating.
That's right.
But it is good to be here tonight, and I appreciate the opportunity. And I don't take it lightly that your preacher asked me to come preach, and I sure am thankful for that. But are you glad you saved on Sunday?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
I was glad this morning to be saved, and I ain't got over it, so I decided to come back to church tonight. But you can be turning to 2 Kings tonight, chapter number 5, and verse number 1. 2 Kings, chapter number 5, and verse number 1. But it is good to be here, and I was trying to think the last time I was here. I can't remember that. It's been a while since I've me and Miss Webbers Claudia has been before here in a couple of years back. I had to come to revival one night on a Wednesday night, and I was unable to come. But it's been a while, but I sure am thankful that I am here tonight. But 2 Kings chapter number 5 and verse number 1, if you find your place, say amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He also was a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send the letter to the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and seek how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now for me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? And how much rather then, when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Lord, we thank you for the day God has given us. I thank you for who you are, for your love, God, your grace, and your mercy. All that you have done, in Jesus' name, God, I ask you to bless this service this evening. Amen and amen. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. All right. If the sound man would turn it down just a little bit, I could hear myself echo. I don't know if you're like me. I don't like hearing myself talk. If you ever hear it, every time I do, I'm amazed that I sound as bad as I sound. I sound like I've got a first grade education. But all right. Well, I trust this evening that you are familiar with 2 Kings chapter number 5. And when we come to this chapter, we're introduced to a man by the name of Naaman. And the Bible says that Naaman is a great man with his master. He is an honorable man. Matter of fact, the Lord has used Naaman, his life, to do a work in the land of Syria. The Bible says that he is a mighty man in valor. But the Bible tells us that Naaman was a leper. Naaman is a great man. Naaman is a man that is known this evening. But Naaman has got an issue. Naaman is full of leprosy. Now, I know in the day that we live, we don't deal much with this thing called leprosy. I caught an armadillo a few years back, and I didn't realize that they carried leprosy. And I said, glory that I didn't get leprosy from the armadillo, because I caught him by his tail. After I had him in my hand, my buddy said, you know they carry leprosy. I said, I did not know that, or I would have not caught this thing. So I let him go, and I let him go on about his business. But leprosy, as you know this thing, I'm not going to teach you Sunday school, but I trust you know that leprosy is a great picture of sin. It would rot and it would decay. I mean, they would die from the inside out. Body parts would begin to fall off. And in this biblical time that we're sitting in, looking in 2 Kings, all the way through your Bible, anytime any man comes about to have leprosy or any woman, they had to live outside of the camp of Israel. They was considered unclean and nobody wanted to be around them. And this man Naaman is ate up with this thing of leprosy. He's got an issue tonight. And I said this morning to my church, it doesn't matter how big you are, how renowned you are, how mighty you are, it does not matter. Everybody has got issues this evening. Would you agree with me on that? Now listen, they may be, if you like my church, look here on Sunday night, half the church don't go back up. So if I preaching to those that ain't here tonight, we'll just enjoy talking about it. That's right. Amen. But everybody has got issues they deal with. I've got issues and you have got issues this evening. But I have found something interesting in verse number 11 that I believe, if you would just agree with me for a few seconds here, that everybody deals with on a daily basis. Naaman says in verse number 11, But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, watch the next two words, I thought. He says, I thought that the man of God would surely come out. I thought it would stand and call on the name of the Lord. I thought he would strike his hand over the place, and I thought he would recover me of my leprosy. Naaman has got this idea of a preconceived notion when he finds out about the God of Israel that he can do a work in his body and fix his leprosy. He goes down to Elisha's house and he's got preconceived notions that everything's going to be big, everything's going to be, just grand, and he gets down there and Elisha don't even get out of seat to come see him. Anybody in here this evening ever had issues with having preconceived notions?
Right.
The Bible says that it's taught. He has preconceived notions about what's going to take place. You know what that preconceived notion just simply means is that he had an idea, he had put something in his mind that was going to happen without any evidence or without any truth, without any facts.
Right.
Now all of a sudden I'm preaching to the choir, I get that. I know sitting in here, some of the most spiritual people in the church. I know this teacher went over this struggle, this thing. We say we don't struggle with this thing, but everybody in here tonight, if you've been real honest, we all struggle with this thing of thinking. That if something should happen the way we think it should happen, I want to find out God has got something else in plan.
Right.
God has something else in store.
That's right.
I know, I'm not telling them what they're doing there.
Amen.
We struggle with this thing of faith. I remember me and Miss Claudia got married in 2012, September 29, 2012. And in our first Christmas together, we didn't have any money. So we could buy one gift each. That's what we agreed on. That's all we could afford. Now I'm glad to say we're hundredaires. Somebody say, so I don't know how you fellas are, but when it comes to gift giving time, I just tell you what I want.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't want nothing I need. I want everything that I just want. We didn't have much money, so I said, I really want a Carhartt jacket. I need a Carhartt jacket. And guess what I got on Christmas morning? A Carhartt jacket. Mm-hmm. But like most women, Miss Claudia never told me what she wanted for Christmas.
Yeah.
She just dropped those subtle hints from January to December 1. Like I was supposed to remember everything she pointed out and looked at in the store.
It's hard, brother.
So I didn't know what to get. So I go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I thought the first gift I picked up was a mighty fine one. It was a 2012 Alabama National Championship shirt. I thought everybody needs an Alabama shirt. If you go along with God's post, you may be an Alabama fan. Put that guy in there. If any office man get here tonight, raise your hand. I'm going to put you on the prayer list at the church. There's a mission field everywhere. So that gift was it was a small gift. I could get something else. So I walk around the store and I come across a $100 sweatpants. I know you ladies thinking there's no way he bought his wife sweatpants for Christmas. I'm telling you, I bought sweatpants for Christmas. So we go in there Christmas morning. I mean, he's excited. I'm excited. It's our first Christmas together. We ain't got hardly any money, but we got love. Say amen. Everybody found out love don't pay the bills. The less company wants real money.
That's right.
So we get up Christmas morning. I mean, man, he is excited. I mean, there's a glow about her. She's full of holly, jolly cheer. We get in, she gives me my gift, holds me up, and I got exactly what I wanted. I got a Carhartt jacket. I wasn't disappointed, not one bit. But I give her my gift to her. I wish I could record it. She's so excited. She's just full of Christmas joy. She sits down, opens the gift, pulls out in one hand some gray sweatpants, and in the other hand a red Alabama shirt, and the disappointment that come on her face. It's like somebody took her favorite puppet and took it to the animal shelter. I mean, this disappointment. I mean, just all over her. I said, oh no, you didn't tell me.
You say, what are you saying, preacher? Look what I'm saying tonight. His body had a preconceived notion. She thought she was getting one thing. Only to find out she got something totally different. And there's times in life tonight that we think God can do something this way. Only when God does it, it comes totally different. And look here, whether you want to agree with me or not, a lot of times we're just like men. When God does something this way, we talk to happen that way, we'll go away and we'll raise one for that man, we'll pour a finger in God, and we don't understand why I'm not here. It ain't for you to understand that I am. It's for you to stand under and just have faith in Him tonight.
Amen.
I'll say this to you tonight, glory to the Lord, that last time this body was sitting on the couch, cold and lonely, and guess what kind of sweatpants she had on? She had on the first sweatpants I ever bought her. I was preaching this morning, Holy Ghost showed me, when God gives you something that He wants, it'll last between each other, we won't. It don't ever make it, it don't ever stand the test of time. You'll get in line with God tonight. And I've got to be God in your life. There's some things that last tonight.
Yes, sir.
Naaman has got a preconceived notion. As a matter of fact, in the whole chapter, he's got a thinking problem. Won't you know first tonight about the people that is around him? He's got a thinking problem now. The first person you find in the life of man is a little man from Israel. Yeah. He's got a thinking problem on her. Her name is not mentioned in Scripture. She seems to be a nobody. And Naaman and his company has went into Israel. And they took the hostages of Israel, they took their people captive, and they brought them back, and he got this little old man, this little old girl, probably not 10, 11, 12 years old, and he puts her in his house, and she becomes a servant, she becomes a slave to the wife of Naaman. Naaman thinks she's just a nobody, nobody really cares about her, nobody knows her name, but Naaman soon found out that it was a little man with no name that God was going to use to do a work in Naaman's life. Who do you think it was that told Naaman's wife about the God of Israel? Who do you think it was that told Naaman's wife about the man of God sitting there in Samaria? It's that little old man that Naaman didn't take nothing about. He said one day sitting in there watching her sit out in his teacher's chair. He said, you know, there's a God. He knows preacher that is Samaria. I can't do this, I can't do that. I've heard a great tale about God doing the work. And if Naaman can get down there to him, he can fix his issues.
Yeah.
It was somebody that Naaman thought was a nobody that was the biggest in his house. Yeah. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
You may feel like a nobody, right? You may feel like nobody cares. You may feel like people misuse you, mistreat you. You may feel like everybody's doormat. I got good news for you. You're hooked up with Him tonight. You're somebody. You're still with Him tonight. You keep on being faithful. I mean, you keep on serving Him. You keep on telling people about Him. And they'll come and say, look here, that person takes care of nobody. Darling, you've been somebody in your life.
Amen. Yes.
She was the biggest of his eyes. And then there's Elisha, the man of God. I've been told you most of them will tell you again to the fact that somebody said that.
Amen.
He gets down there. He pulls up to Elisha's house. You say, how do you know it's Elisha's house? Didn't have mailboxes. He had a DMC sitting in the driveway. Somebody said, That's when you know they really men of God. He said in that DMC, you know, that preacher, they had great mighty camels.
Yes, they did.
And camel park out there.
DMC stuff. I'm just saying that you got out and got four, y'all pray for him.
He pulls up to the light. Everybody doing okay now?
Yeah, come on.
I got a long drive back to Mississippi. I'm going to tell you my time. If you get done before I do, you just hang out. He pulls up to the light's house. He's on his horse. He's got a chariot. And light sees him pull up. And he sends his servant out there. Righteous, what did he get off the couch? He sent his servant. He said, I want you to go tell him to go wash some jewelry 7 times to be clean. And the servant goes out there and tells him. And the response of man, well, I thought he would come out here. I thought he'd call on the name of the Lord. I thought he'd strike his hand over the place. I thought they'd be lightning. I thought they'd be thunder flashing. I thought they'd be smoke and fire. And I thought they'd be a big old show I got down here. Elisha wouldn't even get up off the couch from watching Gunsmoke. If it was me, I'd be watching the blacklist. He's got preconceived notions because he thinks when he gets down there, he needed to do it this way. But when he got down to Elisha's house, it was totally different. Anybody ever been there with God?
Yeah.
Anybody ever thought God was going to do something only to find out he got your grace up next?
Right.
That's right.
Right.
And then there's the servant of Elisha, Yahweh. Well, the story goes on, and Naaman is healed. And if Naaman wants to give a blessing to the man of God, and he said, I want to give you gold, I want to give you silver, I want to give you raiment. And he said, I don't want any of it. And he sends him on his way, and there his own servant is. And he said, I should not want none, I'm going to get what's mine. And he takes off money, and Naaman sees him, and he spots, and he gives him 2 talents of silver. He gives him 2 changes of garments, and he goes back, and he takes it. He said, what do you say, Richard? I pray tonight that Naaman thought that Jehovah, the servant of Elisha, was being truthful for what he told me. He was being honest. Only to find out he wasn't nothing but a liar and full of reeds. You see, in this higher story of Naaman in 2 Kings chapter number 5, he got a thinking problem with everybody around him.
Yeah.
He thinks like this. He thinks it like that. I want to find out everything totally different than what he thought. He thought the little maid was a nobody. Turns out she was a big deal.
That's right.
Thought the married officer did his way. I want to find out if he did that way. He thought the house was right. And all the time that he was alive. He said, well, preacher, how come Elisha didn't get up for a man? Elisha didn't get up and go out there to see Naaman because Elisha wanted Naaman to know that it was God.
Amen. That was going to do a work for him.
That's right.
He didn't want him to trust him in Elisha. He wanted him to trust in God, Elisha. There are a lot of times we go through issues in life, we face storms in life, we walk through valleys in life, we got things going on. We want God to do something right now. We want God to do something like this. All the time that God doesn't do it like that, God doesn't expect what we say. God's not moving like we're moving. He said, how come he's doing what he's doing, preacher? Because he wants you to realize it's going to be him that does it, not nobody else.
Amen.
Amen. You want sin to trust in God. You see, Naaman, with the people that is around him, he's got to think of God. And I just want to take time out just because I'm preaching tonight. I may not ever get to come back. I've preached on the road many places. But those men have got thinking problems.
I sure read God for an awful lot about him.
Right. I read God for an awful lot about him. You know how I know that you're a big deal to the mountain of the Lord? You know how I know Forest Hill is a big deal to Jesus tonight? Because he went to Mount Calvary and he gave his life over for you. He gave his life over for you. He gives his life for you tonight. You are a big deal to him.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God doesn't think a lot about Naaman because he's important or because he's evil. God thinks a lot about Naaman because God is God tonight. And I'm glad God's love for me is not dependent upon my love for him.
I'm glad that his faithfulness is not dependent upon my faithfulness. I'm glad his faith on me is not dependent on my faith and on others.
Naaman, you've got a thinking problem with people around you. But secondly tonight, not only with people that is around him tonight, but Naaman has got a thinking problem
with the place that is allotted to him. Look in verse number 10. The Bible said, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. The place that is allotted to him. Jordan tonight is a picture of death. Y'all know that tonight.
Yeah.
But in this time, Jordan, the waters of Jordan is filthy. It's filthy. And when he tells Naaman to go wash 7 times in the water of Jordan, he says, man, is Abana and Pharpar not a whole lot better than all of the waters of Israel? He says, is it,
Elisha, you got to understand that the rivers of the banks, they're bad. They got more feeding than that. They're clean. I mean, you walked up to them and they're just gorgeous, but you know what else is in Jordan?
It's filthy. It's filthy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go down there to Jordan and do that. I'd rather go over here and do that.
Yeah.
Anybody ever been a little agitated with a place God placed you?
Yep.
Big church. They wanted me to be a youth pastor. I've been full time there. Well, that's four men of Claudia got married. And I didn't feel led to the Lord. Left the church in Hamilton, Alabama. I preached that for a few months, and they wanted me to take a church and be their pastor. I've been full-time there. I never thought I'd ask the Lord to take that. While we was there the first year, there's a church in Georgia called. Wanted us to come there. I never thought they had the Lord in that. There's one in Robinsville. That was interesting. One in Tuscaloosa that called. We've been here full-time there. And now I'm not full-time. I'm sure I got a little job. I've got things going on. It's been I'm in a process that God has done these things. And it's been a lot of nights. I've laid down on my bed. And I thought, you know what? It'd be a whole lot better somewhere else. It'd be a whole lot better if I was at that other church and I never came here and had to deal with the things I got to deal with. Having watched my wife struggle with the things that she's struggling with because of church. The whole lot better over there. But you know what? Tonight, it would have been better over there.
Right.
It would have been more beautiful over there. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because, listen to me, God sent me to New Hope Baptist Church in Manhattan, Mississippi. That is the best place for me to be at tonight. That is the only place that's going to work tonight. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm smack dab in the middle of the will of God at that church.
Amen.
Far still, that's maybe the time you thought it'd be better somewhere else. But dude, you just need to get some glue in your riches and sit in that pew and back your man of God up if he's following God.
Right.
Be faithful. Serve where God has placed you at. Submit yourself to where God has placed you at. We think tonight, for whatever reason, that our issue is a geographical problem. It's not geographical tonight, it's spiritual. And if you can't be faithful as far as him, you ain't going to be faithful nowhere else. You ain't going to serve God as far as him. You ain't going to serve him as a church fellow. If you ain't going to be a new Christian right now, this church, you ain't going to do it as a church. Be faithful.
Yes, sir.
Go where God tells you to go. Stay where God tells you to stay. I've been there 7 years. I've had families walk out. I've had people stand up in church and chew me up one side down the other and slander my name. Any church, you may have liked my faith in I've had people be mean, be ugly. I've had people be good, be bad, be mad, be sad. You know why I'm still here at Baptist Church tonight? Because God has told me.
That's right, God.
You need to quit going because everybody else. And go because of God. You need to quit staying because everybody else is staying because of God.
That's right.
Oh, listen to me. I was a Christian before I ever got called to preach. And I'm not going to be a Christian for you. I'm going to be a Christian for him.
Amen.
Y'all got time tonight? I'm not got time to see anybody at a church do programs to get people in. I sit there or
something. Yeah.
Amen. I'm not knocking programs. You won't do things. Listen to the program. You won't get them in and keep them Jesus.
That's right. There it is.
If Jesus ain't enough for them to stay, then your program ain't going to be enough for them.
That's right.
You know why they have to go to program after program after program? Because it's awful hard to keep carnal Americans entertained in church.
That's right.
If you don't love Jesus tonight, if they don't love Jesus tonight, they ain't going to be faithful.
That's right.
Jesus is enough tonight.
It sure is.
That only thing that will get you to heaven is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
All the thing that will sustain you is the Lamb of God.
That's right.
Man had preconceived notions about the place that was alive. He thought, that's what he thought, man and woman is nasty. The waters in the mattress is a whole lot better. They're awful pretty compared to the waters of Jordan. Surely I can go down there and be better. But he wasn't got no better. The only place he was going to get better at was Jordan. That's what God told him.
Yes, right.
Preconceived notions. Preconceived notions about the place of God. You know what would be a good day in your life? If you just come to terms with God's God. And what he's got you to do, you just need to do it.
Right.
He said, preacher, I don't feel like it's a big deal. Or if you didn't deal with him, really wouldn't deal with his heart for you to do it.
That's right.
Like people that's got nursing home ministries, that's a big deal to the Lord. Really big deal. You know that John the Blood, the most spiritual preacher Jesus had a rest home ministry. He had to take care of Jesus' mother. And then he had to get children's church. First, second, third John. My little children.
Yeah.
And that was the most spiritual preacher Jesus had. It was a big deal. That's what was allowing him to do. And he did it for the honor and glory of God. Naming preconceived notions about the place that is allotted to him. For God's grace, that's a big deal tonight.
But thirdly, and I'll be done tonight, he had preconceived notions about the people that was around him, about the place that was allotted to him. But he had preconceived notions about the process that was appointed unto him. Now I want you to notice in verse number 13, the Bible said, his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean. Naaman had preconceived notions about the process that was appointed unto him. He was to wash 7 times in Jordan to be made clean. Now, here's your mindset tonight of Naaman. He is a mighty man in valor. He's strong. I mean, he's captain of the host of the king of Syria. He's an honorable man. He is a great man. He is a renowned man. I mean, he can do things physically that most people from where he lives at probably can't do. And when the man of God says, I want you to take yourself and wash yourself 7 times in Jordan. He's thinking, what? That easy? If he had told him to go out and catch 2 gazelles and kill 3 lions, he'd have done it in a New York minute. But it was washed 7 times. And see tonight, we have issues tonight with the process of God. How many of you know Romans 8:28? How many of you love it? I preached 2 funerals last Friday on that text, both funerals. I love that text. Love it. I love the promise of it. I love the plan of it. I love the purpose of it. I love that text. It's dear to my heart. But if you be real honest with the process, that God will work all things, to the good of those. The process really ain't no fun. Because there's good things and there's bad things. The process ain't that fun. And Naaman has got an issue with the process of God. It was something sent to wash 7 times in the Jordan. 7 times. You got an issue with the process. You say, well, preacher, why do we struggle so much with the process? It's because we see very little progress tonight. Very little progress in the process of God. Y'all know what he told the children of Israel when he's leading them into the land of Canaan by driving out the inhabitants of that land. He said, little by little, I'm going to drive them out. Little by little. So the Naaman goes down and dipped himself 7 times in the water of Jordan. The first time he dipped himself in, he comes up, guess what? He's still a leper. The second time Naaman dipped himself in, guess what? He's still a leper. The third time he dipped himself in, he comes up, he's still got leprosy. The fourth time's
the same, the fifth time the same,
the sixth time is the same.
He comes up the sixth time and he still cuts her head to toe in leprosy. He said, preacher, how do you know that guy? Y'all remember Joshua? You remember God said, I'm going to give you the city of Jericho and the king of Jericho in your hand. He said, that's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go down to the wall of Jericho. He said, I want you to march around one time a day for 7 days. He said, on 7 days, on the wall flat. So Joshua comes and he tells his men what's going to take place. He said, how are you going to take the city, Joshua? He said, well, I'll tell you. We're going to go down there. We're going to walk around the wall of the city one time a day for 7 days. And God will bring along.
Amen.
He said, okay. So they go. And the first day they walked around it, guess what? The wall still standing. The second day they walked around it, guess what happened? The wall is still standing. I mean, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. I mean, they walk around the 6 days of the time. They get done walking. Guess what? That ain't even a crack in the foundation of the wall. But on the seventh day.
Yeah.
Walked around that wall of the city. That trumpet blew and the wall fell down flat just like God said it would do. And on the seventh time, man, he just sat down in that water. And it came up, the Bible said, that it came out. He had brand new flesh about right there in a little time.
Yeah. Thank you, God.
You say, well, you say, we're not telling you tonight that the process of God, we believe there is a process in it. But there's coming a day, there's coming a day that God may do something big in your life. You just keep on being faithful. Lord God, it's not too late. You keep on preaching that good, Brother Jeremiah. You keep on telling them, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, every time the door is open. How about you keep on being faithful to Him? You keep on listening for Him. You keep on praying for that long blood one. You keep on telling us that He is the Son. But at the time of day, on the Sabbath day, God's going to do a work.
Yes, right.
Both of them.
Yes, amen.
Yes. You know, nobody's praying somebody the wrong time, man. You don't give up. You keep praying and praying and praying for that one person in your hand or that one prayer. They ain't seem to get any better. They're going to come today and you're going to pray for the last time. They're going to walk a third time. Get down there and get born, born again. Then God's going to get honor and glory out of that.
Right.
It's coming today. God let you do something big. You just need to keep on being faithful. We struggle with the process, but we don't see very much progress. There's Naaman. I can just see Naaman. He's already got preconceived notions. He's already a man that's a preacher. If you get a man to preach all the time, you just get over yourself. He don't think much about no one around him. He's got to go down to Jordan. He's not a man. He gets down this and that. First time he's down there, he ain't no better. Second time, no better. Third time, no better. Get down to the sixth time, he's the one on earth. And gets himself down that last time, comes up, he says, oh, my soul.
Yeah.
He said, verse 11, he said, I thought he had preconceived notions about what should have took place in his life. Mm-hmm. Only to get down there, something totally else happened.
Right.
God didn't hold it away from what he thought. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he says, for we know. For we know. You know what the difference is? Thinking and knowing is? Knowing is having concrete evidence, facts, truth, without a shadow of a doubt.
That's right.
All you're thinking is preconceived notions without any truth, without any evidence. Paul doesn't say in Romans 8:28, but I think all things will work together for those that love him, those that call forth his purpose. Paul says, for we know.
That's right.
You better be real careful about trusting what you think tonight. Because Peter thought he would never deny Jesus.
That's right.
And he sure did. Peter didn't trust what Jesus was telling him. He said, Peter, I'm telling him, you won't deny it. Oh, no, I ain't going to deny it. He thought he said he was something. And he failed. You know what Job said? Job doesn't say, I think my Redeemer lives. Job says, I know my Redeemer lives.
Yes, sir.
He'll stand upon earth in the latter days, and I shall see him with my own eyes. I know. You may be sitting in a situation tonight, you don't think it's going to get any better, that God really won't do anything. Why do you think like that? Isaiah 55 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than yours, my thoughts are higher than yours.
That's right.
I'm almost done. Y'all should have been seen as a preacher. I let you go 30 minutes ago. We're going to blame this on you. Miss Carly, I'm going to do it. Joseph, in the Old Testament, God gave a dream to you. And he believed that dream. And everything happened, he never thought was going to take place. If you ask Joseph, if you think your brother's going to try to kill you, throw you a fit, say you're a slave,
I don't think it's going to happen.
But it happened.
Right.
Joseph, do you think when you had a favorable foster that his wife's going to lie on you, they're going to catch you in the prison, they're going to hurt you and bound you and chains? I don't think of that. Joseph, do you think tonight's when the chief butler and baker come to you and they're sad and you got favor in the jail and you know, you tell them what's going to take place in their life, and one dies, one gets exhausted. Do you think that fellow's going to teach you for 2 years? No, I don't think he will. Joseph, do you think that you've been forgotten? That there's going to come a day that you're going to be running anything in Egypt? I don't think so. Because God gave me a dream. I don't really understand. I just got to believe it. Thank you, things that took place like I thought they were going to take place. Joseph, when he got older, when he got exalted, he looked back on his life. And this is what he told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, verse 22. He said, you thought it for evil, but God meant for good. Saving much people alive, but it is a mistake. And this evening, you may not understand, you may not get it, you may think God ain't going to do nothing, but there's going to come a day you're going to step back and look and be amazed at everything God did in your life.
Amen.
You just keep on being faithful.
Yes.
You keep on loving Him. You keep on serving Him because the seventh day is coming.
That's right.
God makes it sit big in your heart and your life. Naaman had preconceived notions. He said, I thought. Now look at verse number 15. After his cleansing, he comes back to the man of God. That's what he said. He said, now I know. Aren't you glad you can know some things?
Right.
He said, preacher, why? You know him tonight. You're just trusting him.
Right.
You're just trusting Him tonight. Your thinking will drive you crazy, but your trust is ahead of you. Just trust Him tonight. Do what He says do. Go where He says go. Stay where He says stay. Be faithful to Him tonight. And I can assure you He's going to be faithful to you. Look at y'all right. There's somebody coming to play music tonight. As they come, I know I've been long-winded, but y'all been long listening, so I appreciate that.
Amen.
Tonight. But if she comes and she plays the piano tonight, won't you bow your head and close your eyes? Won't you be real honest with yourself tonight? Maybe there's somebody in here that needs help because they thought God was going to do something, only to turn out God gave you some gray sweatpants.
But what God gives is always best tonight. She begins to play, won't you come?